Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
I'll be 50 next year. There is no way around it. I mean, I look good. Yeah, you're I look 49. Good. Yeah, 49. We're bitch. And yeah. This pair of paws. And this pair of paws. But if I'm going to tackle mental health, you know, menopause deals with your mental. Mm. So if I'm going to do that, I have to talk about it. That's real for me. That is very real.
I respect that.
Very real. And it's real for a lot of women. We're just not talking about it.
I guess I signed up for it.
She'll have moments. And it's not going to be all the time.
I just wait to be summoned.
She'll be much.
So I just walk around like greased up.
How did we get here?
I walk around like Ving Rhames on Baby Boy.
Cooking eggs, bucket naked.
You dig what I'm saying? I'm a diverse individual.
All of this shit is real.
Everybody's like, what is it? Is he a family man? Is he a trapper? Is he a ladies man? I'm all of it.
All of it.
I beat your ass, kiss your girl, and go tuck my kids in. And then I show up and lead a march on the weekend.
It's all real. Real, real.
This is Expeditiously. I am Tip T.I. Harris. Now, the following experience is not a test. The conversations and stories expressed on this podcast are meant to be an expression of purpose and truth. This show, properly entitled Expeditiously, is a free exchange of ideas and opinions. No judgment, no preconceived beliefs, no fear. You're encouraged to share your thoughts and ask any question as long as it's done with respect. And that's through true love and respect for others that we will change the world and speak truth to power, one show at a time. Now, without further ado, this is Expeditiously. I'm Tip T.I. Harris. Come on, and
it's not. Well, yeah, it's not. It really isn't.
You dig what
especially if you wake up and you're breathing. You have another day to fix the shit that you fucked up the
look,
day
man,
before.
Guess what? You got two options. And I say this all the time. You got two options when you got adversity that you're facing. Fix it or fuck it.
Basically.
You fix it if you can. If you can't, you say fuck it.
I'm a Virgo. It's really hard for me to say fuck it.
You're Virgos.
I don't know nothing about astrology. I just know the Libras are supposed
Virgos
to be the
Virgos are loyal. Oh, my best friend is a Libra.
I just
my
know Libras are supposed to be the
coolest.
Over 30
years.
No, they don't. You don't know that.
That's what I heard. I thought it was all
you
like
you must
me.
Be a Libra.
Okay, guys. Hey, welcome to Expeditiously. I don't know if you have caught on yet, but my next guest is someone whose body of work includes some of our all-time favorite movies and television series. She's someone that we have grown up to love in her standout roles, from Cookie in Empire to Suge in Hustle and Flow, Yvette in Baby Boy. She has earned 3 Emmy nominations, a Golden Globe, Critics' Choice Award, and 3 BET Awards. I normally don't announce awards, but I had to lift up the work of this one, okay? She is our very own Round the Way girl. Please welcome to Expeditiously my sister, the great Taraji P. Henson.
Thank you.
What's going down?
Everything.
You dig what I'm saying, man? Yeah. I mean, you've been quite the busy young lady here. Where does this drive come from?
The hood. And not trying to be back there.
Fear of being broke.
Yeah, fear of being broke.
Needing some money, as Carlos Miller would say.
I got it from my parents. You know, my dad was a metal fabricator. He fought in Nam. My mom was a blue, you know, she worked at Woodward and Lothrop. Mm. I don't know if you remember that.
No, I don't.
It was bought out by Macy's.
Gotcha.
And
big time retailer.
Yeah, thank you. Okay. And she worked her way up from the basement, putting tags on merchandise to having her own office with employees under her. So I watched that happen. You know, I watched her go from wearing, she only had like one pair of dress shoes for the whole year, to moving on up. So when you're around that, how do you not? Yeah. How is that not? How does that transfer to you? I used to go on jobs with my dad, so that all transferred.
Right. I mean, I think that, you know, that same blue collar attitude, you know what I mean, is what we've all been gravitating towards. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You have like I guess, a down-home directness, mm-hmm. if you will. Do you think that this is something that makes it more difficult for women, especially black women, to succeed in this business?
It's just hard for black women, period. Mm. I don't care what business you're in. It's just really hard.
Man, that sounds tough coming from the most, accomplished, successful, most brilliant beings on the planet. So to say that...
I work a lot, right?
You do.
Want to know why?
Tell me.
I have to.
What?
I'm not getting paid all that money. Other actresses who are not black...
Gotcha.
They make more money.
That's right.
So that's why they have the privilege of doing maybe one or two projects a year. Or maybe sometimes you will see them one time a year.
Mm.
Know why? Because they're paid. But I got to hustle. You see actors like me, Viola, Octavia, working. We're grinding because we're not making the money.
Regina King.
Regina King. We have to, baby. We have to.
Absolutely.
So that's why it looks like we work hard. We have to.
Yeah.
We have to work hard.
I mean, I think that...
I wish I could do one movie and make 20 million and if I could just make 10 million on one flick,
right.
I'm chilling the rest of the year, but I have to work like this.
We're gonna try and figure out a way to get that done, and I know just the way. I learned it from my guy Tyler Perry. You put your own money up and do it yourself.
I gotta make my own money first. Yeah, you know, more money, more problems, right?
This is true.
So the more money you make, the more bills you have, the more people you have to hire. So I'm working to pay the people. I take care of the people that I work for, but I need, you know what I'm saying? I'm having to work. I got to work. I can't take a break.
I can do it.
I need some people to invest with you, you see.
Mm. Yeah. And I invest. You got to understand, I invest. I have my hairline that's dropping soon.
That's dope. Let's hear about that.
Yeah, it's dropping soon. It's a soft launch, December 29th. The hard launch is January 20th. I can't give a lot of information, but it's really big. But what if I just wanted to be an actress? I mean, I know we're in the day and time now that you have to build a brand. You have to branch off because acting is just not going to sustain you forever.
Well, but I was necessarily saying find you somebody to invest in movies with you.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know how hard that is to do? You know how hard? I wanted to run up.
Yeah.
Okay,
see, T.I. from the right ones, baby.
Okay, so listen to me. So this has been my challenge. We have, you know how the civil rights movement started?
Mm-hmm.
It's because of the death of a child named Emmett Till.
Right.
That is why the civil rights movement even started.
That's right.
So why is it that we have a story about Martin Luther King? We have a story about Rosa Parks? We have a story about everybody centered around the civil rights movement except for the child's death.
Mm.
Who sparked it?
I've heard rumors and rumblings of a film being in the production.
I can't. Do you understand how hard this is to? And it's frustrating because I almost ran up on Beyonce and Jay-Z and was like, "Give me some money!" But
hey, but look, though, check this out. This is what I'm trying to tell you. Usually, no matter how big our problems are, the problem ain't the problem. The lack of a solution is the problem.
Yeah.
So if you can identify the problem, you just need to fill the room with enough people who can come up with the solution for that problem. And the problem will no longer exist.
Mm-hmm.
I think that you are a phenomenally talented, gifted, and accomplished actress.
Thank you.
And we all support you in the culture. You like all of our sisters and aunties and mamas and girlfriends and baby mamas and wives. Like you represent somehow every fashion of black woman in every relationship that any man could possibly have. So I never want you to feel in any way discouraged. I never want you to feel in any way like you're not appreciated. I never want you to feel in any way like you are not enough, because you lack nothing. And we appreciate you for everything you've contributed to our culture.
And I honestly feel that from the people. And so I've honestly made a conscious choice not to try to fit in where we're not wanted.
That's right.
We don't ever feel like we've made it until we've Golden Globe,
I believe,
Oscar.
It.
But that was never
seeking
created
validation.
For us. Seeking validation in places that really don't want us there. You know what I mean? And why is it that that's the end all and be all of... you're talented or you made it or you're celebrity or you're success. You're setting yourself up to get your feelings hurt each and every time you try to belong to a club that doesn't want you, right? But we are always doing this. We always find ourselves hashtagging Oscars. So why should we care? We have enough talent, enough money to create our own.
They build up the BET Award.
I mean, come on. Build up the BET, but let's make the NAACP Image Awards bigger than what it is. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, we have the resources to do it.
That's right.
But we're so busy trying to get validation, seek validation from other places where we're just not nurtured.
I can dig that.
And it's like a vicious cycle. It's almost insanity. It's almost every year we wait for them to go, yeah, you're approved. And then when they don't, we get in our feelings. We get salty, and it's always a hashtag. But we're being controlled by that.
That's right. I am a firm believer, and this is a philosophy that I try to base my life on, and it is basically, if you live for the cheers, you will die by the booze.
That part. And be clear on what it is you're doing. I'm not for the applause. Like, I'm for changing. I'm an artist to the bone. So whatever I do, I hope it's affecting someone in a positive way. I hope some image that I'm portraying, someone in the audience is going, oh God, that's me. Maybe I need to work on that. You know what I mean? Yeah. I'm trying to inspire the way arts inspired me and kept me off the streets and kept me from going to jail and kept me from doing bad shit that my friends were doing. You know, the art saved me.
Right.
So I know how powerful art is. So I take that really, I'm very serious and sensitive about my shit. You know? So because I know my purpose in this, I take it very seriously. That's why I choose the roles I choose. You know, I choose the roles that seem to be quite stereotypical because I know I can bring humanity to them. I know I can make people go, oh, wow, I know this girl. Maybe I need to feel a different way about her. Well, they can see why she's loud, or they can understand why she has this attitude or this rage. You know, so that's why I try to play those characters, because, you know, in the hands of the wrong actor, they could just be a stereotype. Nobody's going to connect to another sassy black girl that got, you know, quick clapbacks and sassy. Yeah. But they need to see why she's like that.
All right, man, let's take a pause in the discussion for an opportunity to keep it real. All right, look, New Year's resolutions don't always stick, especially the ones that focus on health. Well, because they require the most work. And when you have to work on yourself and discipline yourself and kind of make sacrifices in your diet and your drinking and so on and so forth, I mean, your lifestyle seems to suffer, but it's a small price to pay for a big payoff later. I gotta let you know that Daily Harvest makes it easy to eat well, okay? They deliver thoughtfully sourced, chef-crafted food right to your door, and everything can be prepared in 5 minutes or less. Daily Harvest is something that you can enjoy year-round as a quick solution to get the fruits and vegetables you need daily. Daily Harvest works directly with farmers to harvest organic fruits and vegetables at their peak and freezes them within 24 hours to lock in the nutrients. Everything stays fresh until you're ready to enjoy it. You can choose from more than 65 different options, from smoothies to soups to harvest bowls and overnight oats. Yeah, overnight oats. That's a thing, I guess. Anyway, each recipe takes one step to prepare, with room to make them your own, okay? You can add your favorite milk, if that's what you're into, to make it a smoothie, or you can heat up a harvest bowl and top it off with some avocado or a fried egg. Whatever you need to do to take your mind off of the fact that you'd rather be eating something else when you know you shouldn't be, because you said that this is the year that you get your body together. You dig what I'm saying? Whether you're at home or at your desk or on the go, Daily Harvest is the easiest way to have a delicious and nutritious meal or snack. Go to dailyharvest.com and enter promo code TIP to get $25 off of your first box. That's promo code TIP for $25 off your first box at dailyharvest.com. That's dailyharvest.com. Convenience without the compromise. They take out the hard work. All you got to do is do it. And see, that brings me to my next question. I think they're not going to do that because they're intimidated by her. That's just me. But I ask you, why do you think Hollywood, and I guess you could say society, has such deep-rooted issues with black women and their realness?
That's a question of a lifetime. I mean... I just...
I mean, what is it, though? Like, you know what I mean? Like, is it because, you know, they don't want to feel the rejection of a black... Because a black woman will tell you, like, quick when you ain't good enough. When you have fallen short of the glory,
mm-hmm.
they're going to make sure that you know that and you hold yourself accountable. I think it's, like, the fear of facing that moment.
Well, anytime you hate on a person or a particular group of people, hate is stems from fear.
This is true.
So I can't answer what they're fearful of because we are nothing but good. I mean, we are nurturers. During slavery, we nursed their babies to the
That's
point
right.
where our breast was empty and we could not feed our own children. So
okay.
why you fear us so much and you have so much hate for us is beyond me. Because every movie we ever tell, every story we ever show, we always show us reaching across the table.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You know, being inclusive.
Right.
You know, helping even the enemy.
Right.
Brushing the one's hair who killed the innocent man in his damn house. You know that's
I mean.
In us.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
that's their fear. I can't answer.
I also feel like reducing themselves as to not offend anyone else. I think that, you know, I think black women for a long time have had to kind of take a back seat or felt like they had to take a back seat so they wouldn't offend their bosses by having the right answers in the meeting or you know what I'm saying? Like I think that has been predicated throughout history in so many different ways to where now just, you know what I'm saying? I think, you know, now black women saying fuck that shit.
Enough is enough.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I see where y'all coming from.
We need
with
to
that.
Cut it out with the strong black woman.
I see where y'all coming from with that.
Be careful with the black girl magic because it dehumanizes us. There's
I understand all that. All I want y'all to do and make sure that you continue to do is recognize your allies. You understand that? Because none of us can make it out here alone. Okay? That's it. I just think once we recognize our allies, we can accomplish anything in the world we hope to achieve.
Black women, right?
Black women.
Well, the first
absolutely.
Thing black women have to do is start embracing each other.
Mm.
We have to stick together first, right? And in that means, you know, supporting relationships. I'm the type of woman, if I know somebody got a man, that's off. That's. You know what I'm saying? If I'm a.
What you say, honey?
I said thank you. Me too. Oh,
no, okay. Because that's karma.
That's karma.
You know it is because if you wreck in the home and you think your home is gonna be okay, that's. I mean, come on, karma's gonna get you at some point.
Hey, man.
I'm just saying that's just how I operate. So as far, but I'm saying that you can't.
I feel the same way though.
But
as
you
it pertains
can't.
To men, you know.
Absolutely,
what I'm
saying? But black. We first have to come together as a sisterhood because we are greater and we are more impactful in numbers. But see, society has pitted all women against each other, and then when you get down to the lower part of the totem pole where we dwell. Now we have nothing, so now we're scrapping with each other over everything. Jobs, men, everything.
I mean, like, I think that, and this is a very dangerous, this is a very, very, very dangerous statement that I'm about to make, but I'm going to make it because I'm trouble man. this is the, your statement is the basis for the reason why I feel like women will never reach true equality.
I can't say never, but go ahead, say it.
And the reason why I feel like that is because they weren't meant to be equal, they were meant to be greater than. You dig what I'm saying? I feel like women should be treated greater than, you know what I mean? That's why if a woman's walking in a room, I'm gonna offer her my seat. It's why when I make it to the door first, or I'm gonna make sure that I make it to the door first so I can open it for her. Like, that's, you know, that is what I feel you have earned the right and shown that you deserve. And I think that preaching equality is kind of like, if okay, men are here, women are here, and women are saying, hey, we should be treated equal. I don't think that's the answer. I think it's, hey, you guys ain't treating us good enough. You know what I'm saying? I think that's the approach to me. You know what I mean? But that's neither here nor there. I think that you guys have, you know, you've
done. I wish more men thought like you.
Man, well, you know, don't clap too loud too soon. Cause
we all have flaws. We all, it's called being human, but that's beautiful to hear a man say.
Nah, I really feel like that, man. That's why I be tripping. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, damn, like, you know, it's double standards because, like, to be honest with you, for the most part, motherfuckers is supposed to be accommodating you guys. Mm-hmm. And when they tend to not do so, you ask for equality. But that's not, no, you shouldn't ever seek equality because I feel like you should be, you know, greater than. You know what I mean? You should just acknowledge, hey man, y'all ain't living up to what y'all supposed to be doing, so y'all need to get on y'all game. But that's not equality. That's mm-hmm. still recognizing y'all should be treating us greater than.
How do you tell a man's ego that?
A man ego that, I mean, man, to be
I mean, the reason
you.
Why women are in the position that they're in right now is because of men. This conversation that women are having about not being paid equally, not
that's
being
some bullshit.
Paid as much as men.
That's some bullshit.
How is that some bullshit?
No, I'm saying that's some bullshit that if you do the same job as a man, you work at the same place as a man, you're just as qualified, just as competent, just as able as a man, you should make the same money.
But that's not the case.
I know.
That brings me back to my point. Men put us in this position.
It's also men out there fighting on
absolutely.
Your behalf.
I'm not saying all men tweet. I'm talking before you.
Huh?
I'm talking about the forefathers.
Well,
I'm talking
about. That ain't got shit to do with me.
That's what I'm saying.
Those same motherfuckers held me down and fucked me over.
That's what I'm
too,
saying. So. Absolutely.
I mean,
they fucked us all over. But at the end of the day, a man, a black man, will get a better paying job before a black woman will. That's been my experience. I'm telling you from my experience in this industry. I can't speak for other people.
I'm not trying to argue that point.
I don't want to argue.
No, no, no. I'm not trying to argue that point, shape, form, or fashion. However, I think we must place value in the things that are truly important and mm-hmm. valuable. And you guys have something priceless that cannot be reproduced, and I think that's your energy.
Mm-hmm.
You dig what I'm saying? You have an unwavering strength and undeniable energy that supersedes any amount of money, any payment for any service. And somebody got to stand on the line and say, man, until y'all treat me the way that I need to be treated and handle it
that's
the way I need
doing.
To handle it. Well, then change shall soon come then.
I hope it comes, and yeah, I can see it on my check before I'm done.
It ain't the check. The only reason, the problem is, I think
it is the check.
Man, listen, it ain't the check, man. It ain't.
How
check.
Is it not the check,
because, man? Listen, if you made sacrifices like you have been in some areas, if you make those sacrifices in other areas, let's say financially, you could invest in things and be more of a total kind of owner of it
mm-hmm.
instead of asking to be higher. I think that women too can do what Ice Cube did,
Tyler
Perry
did. And we are. But what I'm telling you is that we're not getting the same amount of money, sweetheart. I know this for sure. I just finished a deal of my own.
I mean, was that to star in a movie or was that to fund a movie and produce it and
that part.
Develop it?
That, all of that.
Okay. What shit, man. I don't think that's fair. How can we
it's
fix it?
It's not fair.
How can we fix it? No, let's change the color in this motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? We're going to change the color since, you know what I mean? We're going to change it to pink. I actually love pink.
Pink
you know
is
what
not
I'm saying?
My favorite color.
Pink.
So.
Well, we were talking about this. That's the color. Is that not the color that represents women in totality?
No, not at all.
All right. Well, what color represents women?
What color do you like?
My favorite is red.
And my favorite is yellow. So, I mean, you can't pick
one. How about green? Since
color.
It's about to check, we're going to go with green. We're going to go with green. All right, cool. There we are. Green. All right. Hey, man, you ever notice how the whole world is on social media taking pictures? You know what I'm saying? I mean, just think about it. Ever since camera phones came out and everybody got cameras everywhere you turn around, you got it. I mean, everybody's, you know, posing, taking selfies, mirror pictures. And, you know, it's even stranger when dudes do it. But I ain't tripping on that, man. You know what I mean? Have at it, man. Live your truth. Walk your walk. Be your natural, comfortable self, all right? But think about it. Everyday pictures for Instagram, Twitter are just about on every social site, right? And when you're taking them pics, Don't you want to make sure that you have your best camera ready to smile? You know what I'm saying? Well, that's easier than ever to do that with clear aligners from Candid. Candid aligners help you straighten your teeth faster than traditional wire braces. Treatment takes just 6 months on average, plus they're invisible and removable, so you ain't going to scare nobody off. Now, with Candid, ain't no doctor visits because they get reshipped directly to you, and Candid costs 65% less than braces. Now, look ahead. Wedding season coming up, you know what I mean? Graduation's coming up, you know what I'm saying? Y'all having babies and smiling in them baby pictures, you know, next to your baby daddy and your baby mama every 5-6 days or so. With Candid, the average treatment length is less than 6 months, so by the time your baby get born right now, yeah, the baby you got on the way and the one you don't notice on the way. So before they get here and you posing in baby pictures, you know what I'm saying, as a proud pops or a proud mom, you can have your teeth straight. You dig what I'm saying? And you'll start seeing results way before you would with regular braces. Get your smile together for the gram or any next big event you got going on. Go to CandidCO.com/TI and use code TI to get $75 off. That's CandidCO.com/TI, code TI, for $75 off. CandidCO.com/TI and use code TI. It'll save you some money. Enjoy your smile and thank me later. Listen, man, I know that the road gets tough and you've had, you know, a tumultuous day. And I've had a tumultuous few months, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I've gone through a lot. And I refuse to complain. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to put the load on my back and I'm going to carry it.
Well, the thing about that is when you're a public figure, you just have to go into it knowing that everybody don't like you. A, number one, you'll be fooled to think everybody likes you. And number two, you will be a fool and you will be crazy in the brain if you go out here and try to please everybody. It's just, Jesus got nailed to the cross.
You dig what I'm saying?
And you see, so.
So they say.
Right. Well, you know what I'm saying? So my
so
point
they
is,
say, don't get me started.
If you get into the story, let's just talk about the moral of the story is, no matter how good you are, you will get nailed to the cross somebody.
But okay, you will get nailed to the cross by somebody who's unfit to criticize.
That part, because we're
just
all
as
human
much of a
and just
as
flawed.
That's right.
And just because they're not living their life under a microscope, we can't pick apart their flaws like they can ours.
It ain't even because they ain't living their life through a microscope. It's just because they keep their shit under wraps and they're not as genuine.
You have to understand, they can say things that no one will ever care about.
And when you
but
talk
if
about
we it, say something and somebody disagrees and decides to create a hashtag, now we're shit or we're canceled.
You talk about
it's
the
cancel culture
you
now.
You talk about the luxury of being nobody. That's what you mean, luxury of being nobody. They have an exclusive anonymity that they operate within, and, you know, they can have an opinion one day and have a completely contrasting opinion next week, and nobody will know and nobody will care. Well, we are held to all of our statements and positions. I understand that completely. Now,
just don't try to please everybody, Tip. You can't, okay?
I don't try.
Yeah,
see, that's the
don't.
thing. I just don't give a fuck so much.
Because you happy.
I really just don't.
You're a good person. You're doing good right by your family.
I care about the people who are around
me.
I care about the people who are around me, man. What the people.
And you care about your community because you do a lot of work for the community.
I do. I do. But what I'm saying is with my children, my old lady, my friends, my mama, you know what I mean? I care about what they think about me. And I have another philosophy. You can't give the most consideration to people with the least amount of information. So usually the people who are especially judging and criticizing on social media have the least amount of information about us.
They see one little something and they jump on that.
They make a
They jump on the bandwagon.
They turn a headline into your whole life. You know what I'm saying? And that just ain't the way shit is. So I remove their power from them by not paying attention to that shit. And I focus on the people around me. If these people, if I see it, if it's in my face, then it's real. But if it's only on social media, that means I got to pick up my phone, hit an app, dive in the comment. I got to scroll about 3-4 times to find what somebody said something that was unsavory about me, only to get some attention from me, because that is probably the most important thing that will happen in their life this year. And I mean, so I think that, you know, you...
It's the truth. But see, here's the thing about the double standard with social media. Like, yeah, we get it. We're adults. What about the children who don't know what to do with that?
That makes sense.
The kids don't know what to do with that. We're adults. We tough. We from the hood. Our kids ain't from the hood.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying? They don't know what to do with that shit.
Except for King. King grew up in Boeing Home.
Well, my son ain't. Yeah. So they don't have that tough skin like we got. You got kids having psychotic breakdowns their freshman year in college because nobody like them.
But you do know why that happened, right?
Because they, social media, they Mm-mm. are, why?
Because we were too easy on them. We were too easy on
them.
We wanted to treat them with all of the love and care and all of the extra special attention that we didn't have, and that made them soft.
But our parents did the same thing to us.
No, hell, they didn't.
My parents.
No, hell,
well, no. Go with me here.
Okay.
Each generation did better than the last, right?
That makes sense.
Each generation said, I'm going to do for my kid what my parents could not do for
that
me.
That makes sense. Right. Yes.
So even our parents did that. What I'm saying is where we got fucked up was social media. Because we just did the same thing our parents did to us. We just gave them what our parents could not give them, could not give us. But where shit got screwed up is social media. When social media came in, we lost control. We don't know who our kids are talking to. We don't have as much control as our parents had. My mother, she would catch me in the bed with the covers over my head talking to my boyfriend on the phone. Get off the goddamn, clank, you know, take the phone out the room. We don't have that luxury. We have lost control.
I don't think that it's right to expect to have control.
No, when I say control, there are certain things that we cannot shield our children from where our parents could.
Okay.
Do you know what we had to do to look at a titty picture growing up? We had to wait till the parents left. My uncle had a stash in the bathroom. We knew the bathroom, but we had to sit there and wait like good little kids until they left.
What?
Right?
You was plotting to watch titty pictures?
We looked at titty pictures. They had a big satellite. Soon as they would leave, we would turn that satellite to the Playboy channel.
Absolutely.
Right? And they laughed. My aunts and uncles
were,
I was like 13. You see?
Yeah, I was doing all that at 9 years old.
But that's my point. My point is that we had to work to look for at a naked picture.
You just got to Google it.
Right here. While they talking to you.
Well,
they don't have to wait till we leave the house.
Yeah.
You can't even control the parental controls anymore.
That's real.
That shit's out the window. Yeah. You just don't have the space to really parent your child.
That's real.
You can't. You can do the best you can and just pray. Because
I mean,
social media.
Faith without works is dead.
No. Yeah, social media is.
Faith without works is dead.
Wow.
You dig what I'm saying?
It's a different generation now.
It's a different generation, but I feel like we have to appreciate the benefits of the generation as well as acknowledging the detriment.
They are much smarter.
Yeah, smart.
They are very smart.
But weaker.
Very bad. You can't say that. They just
smarter, but
God
weaker.
Bless them, right?
You know what I mean? But that's fine, man, because as long as they have us to support them, they can get their strength.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They can get their strength passed down to them.
Yes, that's what you say. You always much tougher. You're tougher on them, so they already know how to get it when they get it in the street.
Yeah.
They're already used to it.
That's exactly what I feel. That's why I am with my kids. I tell my man, shut your bitch ass up.
Yeah,
I do that because when they get that kind of energy in the streets, I don't want it to be foreign.
It won't be foreign, right? Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and as a black man, I have to prepare my children for everything.
You have to, and a lot of people ain't gonna understand that.
I had to prepare him for everything. Pretty Ken had a saying that it was something that he did for his child. His son, and basically he passed it down to me, and I started doing it. So he had his son touch the top of that. He said, man, can you touch that right there at the top of that door?
Mm-hmm.
And so his son jumped up and touched it. Bow. He said, okay, now that's good enough for a white boy. You got to touch the ceiling.
Because it's the truth.
You gotta
be better. You have to
10 expect
times
that.
Better.
Because if not, that's where the depression, the anxiety. I feel like the problem is we've been training them to believe that they were equal. We've been training them to believe.
I've never said that to my kid. And I think, no,
I mean,
no.
But not even in school. They go to school.
I think at a certain point, as a black child, you start to see the difference.
Okay.
You feel it. I'm telling you.
At what age you think?
My son saw it about high school.
Okay.
You know, because he went to predominantly white school.
Okay.
And, you know, he had a car, so he would drive his friends and get pulled over. And then his white friends would tell him, that's bullshit. Why did they pull you over?
Mm.
They had to bring it to his attention.
Right.
You know? And then he started paying attention. Like, and then he had, like, all his life he had white best friends. And then to a certain point, they kind of faded away because he knew. And not that his friends was treating him differently. He just knew that he was different.
Yeah.
And so I saw, not that he doesn't have any white friends. It's just that they kind of faded off because the rose colored glasses came off, and it's like, I am definitely treated differently.
That's right.
And I saw it happen. Me and his very first best friend was a French kid, and me and his parents, they had such a great relationship. We wanted to nurture it, and they ended up going to different schools, and we made a pact. We were like, we're gonna make sure that these kids stay close because they're good kids, blah blah blah. And what happened that teenage year? He realized he was different. Trayvon Martin happened. He realized, you have a privilege that I don't.
Mm.
You know, that weighs on a person. I think my depression and my anxiety really kicked in after Trayvon Martin, because as a mother of a black child, I was like, this is something I'm going to carry with me for the rest of my fucking life.
That's true.
I am going to worry about my loved ones until the day I die.
That's real. I mean,
that's something that we can never get away from.
As black people, we always, like right now, I don't know, my son is in Europe, you know, he's in Europe on tour, and just worrying about what happens to him internationally. My 14-year-old son, King.
Now I'm worried about him. Now I'm worried about him.
Our 15-year-old son, King. He likes to travel and go and record with people and go do shows when people doing shows, from Ski Master Slump God to Extentacion's family in Miami to, who was that he just went to go with?
Maddox
and who else? It was a gentleman who they had a show and didn't.
And I know y'all worry. I know you worry.
The baby.
It wasn't the baby, no. No, it wasn't the baby. Oh. I ain't know that.
Which
about baby?
It's a lot of babies.
No, not little baby. And not the baby. It's little baby and the baby. And then you got OG baby.
The big baby. Ain't it a big baby?
I ain't heard of big baby. but having them having to travel the world, you know, to follow their own dreams and passions.
Mm-hmm.
I can't stop them from going.
You can't.
But
you're going to worry.
Exactly.
Because he's black. Because at any given moment,
that's right,
he can be picked out.
That's real.
At any given moment.
That's real. But he ready for that. You know what I'm saying? I feel like in different ways, both of my kids who travel the most and have the most going on, they ready for that. King ready for that in more of a, I guess, more of an aggressive tip kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
And Damani is ready for it in more of a whatever's going to happen is going to happen, Pops. You know, you can't kill energy.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, he hit me with that
shit. They are so blessed to have
you. You know what I'm saying?
Honestly,
so it's kind of like it's like having Tupac and Andre 3000 as sons. You know what I'm saying? And they both carry they weight. You know what I mean? So I try to just continue to calm myself down. But
they're lucky to have a father like you. A lot of kids don't have.
I'm lucky to have children like them. All of my children.
But you hear what I'm saying?
Like, they're just extreme.
Father figure is very important in the household.
That's right.
And because I'm a single mother, I know that.
That's right. Take notes. Take notes. Get your phone out.
And so they are
in your notepad.
I'm just saying that they're very blessed to have you.
Voice record.
Yeah.
I mean, listen.
I know Tiny is an amazing. I watched the
Tiny
show.
I mean, listen,
y'all are incredible parents.
Tiny is
I
a
love
fantastic mother.
The way you guys parent
when she's mothering by herself. You know what I'm saying? It's like, when you have to think about what to do. Me too. I'm a great parent when I don't have to like check in with nobody else to get validation or approval for how I'm parenting. when it's just my decision, I can deal with it without no other encumbrance. Mm-hmm. I am phenomenal. But when I have to go to Tamika and say, okay, how you want to handle this? If her idea is different from mine, I suck.
But this is the beautiful thing about parenting, and this is why that's why it is so important to have both parents in the household, because you need a soundboard. You know, it takes a community to raise a kid, right? Community means more than one person.
It's true.
So if you only got one parent, you know, I can't teach my son how to be a man.
Man,
I can teach him a lot of things.
Your ability to acknowledge that.
You can teach him how to be a respectable man.
I can teach him how to be a respectable man.
You can teach him how to be a respectable human.
There it is. But a man, I know I'm not a man. I've never been a man. Don't want to be a man.
I can't teach my little girl how to be a woman.
Nope.
I can't do it. Mm-mm. I can teach her how to be respectable.
But you can teach her as a woman.
That's different, though. That's not.
But we're talking about a psychological level. Like, there are things that my son experience and will experience in life that I honestly have no answers. I don't know
right
what it is to have a wet drink, you know, certain mm-hmm. things. I just don't know how to teach him.
You know,
I could try to teach him how to be a confident person, right? But then there's a different level when there's a man, and then there's a different level to the it's levels to the shit, because now he's a black male,
right?
So I've never been a black man. I can fathom what black men go through trying to maneuver in this country and in the world.
Right.
But I've never walked in a black man's shoes, you see?
Yeah.
So when it comes to saying, son, when it comes to this as a man, I got to stop right there because I don't have an answer.
So now you have, you recently talked about suffering from depression as you spoke about it just now.
Mm-hmm.
When did you recognize that you had depression? How did you recognize it? And was it like one event or a string of events? I'm asking because I feel like, you know, over the past few months, I have kind of been not myself.
Not yourself, right?
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you can tell.
So what was it for you that made you feel that way? And I haven't even really, like, you know, diagnosed myself with no depression. I just, what's up?
I will.
You go what?
I'm going to help you.
You going
to
help me do what?
diagnose you.
You going to help me get diagnosed?
Yes.
What you mean?
I'm going to help you. I'm going to take you to somebody. I'm going to take you to somebody.
Now, just roll one up, man. Pass it around.
No, we
had that. No, because that's called self-medicating. Because when you come down, you still going to deal with them same problems.
It depends on how much you got to roll up.
Again, you're going to come down eventually.
Listen, I am joking.
I know you are.
Yeah, I don't try
that's
to.
That's for the people who
but
do.
I don't try to run away. I don't try to run away from my pain.
Yeah, I know.
I deal with my pain face on. I deal with my pain head on. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, you do.
And I just kind of sit through it. You know, I sit through it. And on the other side, I learn a lesson from it.
Yeah.
I think that's more important than remaining in a life without pain.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Getting through the other side of that pain and getting the experience and the lesson from it.
Everybody can't do that, Tip. Everybody's not equipped.
They
Everybody's
really can,
not strong
though.
Enough.
They can.
But if they don't have
if they
the
believe
tool.
They can.
Oh, I wish it was that easy.
And with a strong support system.
And then some people are just chemically imbalanced. It's levels
okay,
to this shit.
That makes
shit.
Sense.
It's levels to it, Tip, you know.
What was it that led you to know
I just,
or believe?
You know, I've been called the best party favor. I've been called the life of the party. I am the light at the end of the tunnel. I'm the motherfucking light in the tunnel.
Mm.
And so
you the tunnel.
I'm the light. But I just, because I know me, I just started feeling like suffocating. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, these moods would come where I just felt dark.
Right.
Just low, and I couldn't put a finger on it. I didn't know what was making me feel like this. I just felt out of sorts.
Right.
And a lot of it has to do with perimenopause and menopause. And this is a thing that we need to start addressing. And here's the deal. There's nothing wrong with being young and trying to stay, look beautiful and feel the best you can feel.
Right.
That's fine and great.
Okay.
We're all running around trying to still look young, but no one's addressing what's going on inside.
Mm.
Right? And if I'm going to address mental health in the way that I have, in the bold way that I have,
right,
by starting my own foundation and then coming forth with my own trials and tribulations, how can I do that and not talk about menopause. Like, I will be 50 next year. There is no way around it.
Girl,
I mean, I look
49?
Good. I look
you
good.
Look
yeah, really? I look 49? Good. Yeah, 49. We're bitch. And
yes,
it's perimenopause. And it's perimenopause. But if I'm going to tackle mental health, you know, menopause deals with your mental. Mm. So if I'm going to do that, I have to talk about it.
That's
and
real.
That's real for me. That is very real.
I respect that.
Very real. And it's real for a lot of women. We're just not talking about it.
I guess I signed up for
She'll have
that.
Moments. She'll have moments. And it's not going to be all the
so
time.
So I just wait to be summoned.
She'll be much.
I just walk
moments.
Around like greased up. Hoping.
How did we get here?
I walk around like Ving Rhames on Baby Boy.
Cooking eggs, bucket naked.
You dig what I'm saying? Yeah, Sirski. It's January 2020, man. The year 2020, man. I was expecting to see flying cars by now and houses in the sky like the Jetsons. I guess I'll live another 20 years and see what happens in 40. Listen, if you're anything like me, you're noticing that the year 2020 shows up in a lot of science fiction and a lot of things that we used to watch in the 80s and 90s, you know what I'm saying? A lot of people predicted that by now we'd be teleporting to work or living on Mars, and a lot of those predictions were absolutely wrong. The truth is, we'll always get the future wrong, which is why we need to get life insurance right. That's where Policy Genius can help. Now, Policy Genius makes finding the right life insurance a breeze. In minutes, you can compare quotes from the top insurers to find your best price. Now, you can save, let's say $1,500 or more a year by using Policy Genius to compare life insurance policies. Now, once you apply, Policy Genius team will handle all the paperwork and the red tape. And Policy Genius doesn't just make life insurance easy. Oh no, they can also help you find the right home and auto insurance or disability insurance. So if your science fiction dreams for 2020 still haven't become science fact like mine haven't, don't get discouraged. Get life insurance. It takes just a few minutes to find your best price and apply at PolicyGenius.com. Policy Genius will always get the future wrong. Better get life insurance right. Expeditious. Hey, where you think you going? The show ain't over yet, man. Expeditiously continue. Speaking of Baby Boy, okay, people ask me all the time what my favorite song is.
Mm-hmm.
Now, have you identified a favorite film and why?
I guess I would have to say Hidden Figures because what it did for young girls of color, letting them know, and just girls in general, letting them know that they're smart and they can
that was dope.
Do math, because I grew up with an understanding that math and science was only for boys.
Nah, man, who said that?
No one had the balls to say it to me, but that was an understanding.
I cheated off so many people papers in science.
I know, but that was an overall understanding.
So many beautiful women.
Have you ever heard that?
No, I never heard that.
I did growing up. And no one said it, like, you shouldn't, but it was embedded in me because every time I got to a science or a math class, you know, the first day, I would pick the seat in the back. But English and all my other classes, I would pick in the front.
I always pick the seat in the back, regardless.
Yeah. Man, you was bad.
Okay.
My favorite movie that you did is still be Baby Boy because it's just so relatable and it's just so real, you know.
Baby Boy and Hustle and Flow.
Hustle and flow.
Yeah.
Another one of my favorites is Talk to Me. Then people
Talk to Me
that.
With dope as shit. Yeah, Petey Green.
Don Cheadle. Yeah.
Goddamn Petey Green. You remember we watched that shit for like when it first came out came on DVD because you know
they dropped the ball when it was in theaters. They really studio didn't do well with it.
You know what? But now, right, with streaming and the culture just will refusing to be denied of
we might not get a denomination.
Nah, fuck denomination. We just said our nomination is them streams. You can't stop them numbers.
Listen to me.
Yes, ma'am.
T.I.,
in this industry,
studios bank things on those numbers. Studios bank things. Now, this is why I'm saying that's why I'm so happy Tyler has his studio. We need to do more.
It will over time.
Because right now, in order for me to get the job, I still got to go to the studio.
Man, you don't.
Who, you gonna give me some money?
I will.
Okay, well.
Yeah.
I fucking will.
All right. Well, we gonna talk.
Now, come on, man. Pick this shit up.
Seriously.
I will. I will put up a little bit.
But you gotta. But my point is, you have to play ball.
I also know how to identify where I can get the rest of the money that I ain't gonna put up myself. Mm-hmm. You dig what I'm saying? And I think that that kind of an attitude, if you sit down with more people, like for instance, Will Packer, Kevin Hart, Ice Cube, Tyler Perry, it's a handful of us. Mm-hmm. That can, even Master P, depending on how deep into the culture you want to dive. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's people who actually will support the culture with their finances. Mm-hmm. And you just got to identify those people and, you know, and get into it. Even Oprah, you know what I mean? You got, like, it's so many different avenues that weren't in existence.
Oh, well, that's
25 years ago.
That's where I am now with the till, because it's, Lord, I wish people, they go, just get a movie made.
I mean,
it's
a way to do it. See, like I told you before, the problem usually isn't the problem. The lack of a solution is the problem.
Yeah.
So if you say, just get a movie made, okay. See, most of the time, you're like, yeah, get the fuck out of here, get a movie made. What do you know? Mm-hmm. But if you were to say, get a movie made, how would I get a movie made? Who would I call? What do I need? Mm-hmm. What do I already have? What is still lacking? You make your real list with real names, and you just start making calls and checking off the motherfucking box. You dig what I'm saying?
I swear to God, I just have this feeling that people, I don't know, there's this, maybe I've been knocking on all the wrong doors, I haven't knocked on the right doors, but I'm telling you,
my doorbell
ain't
ringing.
It's so discouraging.
My doorbell
when
ain't
you
ringing.
Ask the people that you think,
man, let's put up all the masters we got from all of the T.I. catalog, and we gonna support Taraji in this next movie. We gonna goddamn all of the escape tickets from the sold out shows, at least 1/4 of them, we are going to we gonna put up for Taraji. Like, I think those are the bold commitments that we have to make for one another in order for us to move forward.
That's the only way we're going to take control of telling our stories. People
Absolutely.
Are in an uproar. I mean, I've heard that people are in an uproar about the Harriet thing. I'm sure the studio had a lot to do with that. You see what I'm saying?
Let me tell you
can't even tell your own stories without somebody's hands being
man,
in it.
Let me tell you something, man.
That's why Tyler built his own studio. No one gets to tell him anything.
But to be honest with you, though, when they were calling around the people, if it wasn't no black people involved, no actor should have answered the phone. If it wasn't the right people involved to tell this story, if you get up to the top, okay, the studio is involved, but who did the studio place over the running of show for this particular project? And if that name, if it ain't Ava DuVernay or someone, or Lena Waithe, or, you know what I'm saying, someone who I can hold accountable.
Casey Lemon is an acclaimed African-American female director. She directed
Harriet?
Mm-hmm.
What did she?
Eve's Bayou, Talk to Me.
She did Talk to Me?
Mm-hmm. And Eve's Bayou.
Well,
I'm just saying, let me just say this.
Maybe I should look at the movie.
Politics, if you're going to play politics in Hollywood, you got to play it. Unless you're going to do what Tyler did.
I'm just saying that she could.
Okay, so you can make the movie. Who's going to distribute it?
Man, I put that bitch on YouTube and count on the streams.
Okay.
I put that bitch on YouTube if I have to. Mm-hmm. I take the Rudy Ray Moore route, and I go start renting out theaters after hours. And, like, scarcity is also a commodity.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? If, you know, banned everywhere else but here, that shit is, it's valuable.
Mm-hmm.
Period. And I just think that we have to tap into one another's resources. Our relationships
Absolutely.
Are resources for us. Now, that brings me to, like, your Golden Globe acceptance speech.
Uh-oh, what did I do?
They asked you to rap it. And,
I just got on stage, and they was doing a countdown. A man was standing on my train. I hadn't even reached the mic yet.
Shame on them. That's their fucking fault. Listen, I think the comment you made was, I waited 20 years. You're going to wait, too. Now, what was going through your head at that moment?
All I know how to be is me, and I meant it.
I said what I said. I say that shit all the time. She don't understand it.
I said what I said.
I say that shit all the time.
I see times that when I go to these award shows all the time, and it seems to me that some people get the acts and some people don't. I just gotten up. I'm not saying that that's what they did, but I'm just saying I just gotten up on the stage and you're just going to give me 2 seconds to speak. I mean, I'm exaggerating, but all I know is that when I got up there, I didn't have enough time.
I think they go back to the intimidation that black women have on a lot of people in Hollywood and society.
You know what, Tip? I can't go that deep.
I know.
But I just know.
You ain't got to. That's what I'm here for.
Yeah, but what I'm telling you.
Because I'm an incumbent. See, the good thing
about me. You just said what was going through my mind.
What was going through your mind?
I just didn't have enough time to say what I had to say. So you're going to make you
gonna
hear me.
Well, guess what, man? Fuck that timer that you got going on. Y'all going to have to come out here and get me kicking and screaming. Because as long as it took me to get here, I deserve to speak.
But the thing was, is I didn't take a long time. It's not like I had a scroll of a script. Like, I didn't even.
Man,
but
listen,
anyway,
man.
I said what I said.
Yeah, you said what you said. We support what you said.
Yeah.
We support what you said. We with you. We stand with you in solidarity, man. Don't ever think you alone. That's the main thing.
I know, most people are depressed. I just want to clear this up. It wasn't that I felt like they gave people more time than me. It just, at that point, I saw I didn't have enough time and I spoke on it. That's all.
Get wet, though. We support you and we want you to have as much time as you need to say everything you need to say. We need you to know that.
That's probably why I haven't been nominated since.
Man, fuck them and their nominations. I'm going to tell you that first.
Yeah.
I say that respectfully to them and what they got going on, but we can't continue to depend on them.
No, respectfully, because we're always getting our feelings hurt when we're left out.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And that's because we put so much on that.
That's right. Hey, listen, man, we're going to take a pause from the conversation right quick to let you know that support for Expeditiously comes from Manscaped. Yep. You heard it right. I said Manscaped. They are the best in men's below-the-belt grooming. Mm-hmm. Now, Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family's jewels. You dig what I'm saying? And right now at manscaped.com/TIP, you can get 20% off and free shipping. It's 2020, so you know it means time for New Year resolutions and so on and so forth. So here we go. One. What you should be doing is promising to take care of yourself in every way possible, okay? The best way to do that is with Manscaped Lawnmower 2.0 Trimmer with skin-safe technology. And when I say take care of yourself, I'm talking about the most personal parts of yourself. You dig what I'm saying? Even if it's only yourself, you want to make sure that it's kind of trimmed and manicured and presentable. You dig what I'm saying? Now, Manscaped can help you with that. Now, you will not nick or snag your balls trying to look cool this year. You dig what I'm saying? Manscaping accidents are going to be a thing of the past with the Lawnmower 2.0. In 2020, women do not want to navigate through tall grass and smelly, sweaty balls to get to the business. You dig what I'm saying? It's funny, but it's true. Right now at manscaped.com/TIP, you can get 20% off plus free shipping. You will not use the same trimmer on your balls that you use on your face. Man code. Start the new year off the right way by using the best tools for the job from manscaped.com. Get 20% off and free shipping with code TIP at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use the code TIP. It'll save you something. I see you got a ring now.
Yes.
And now, I do know that we don't really ever hear much about who you're dating, or if you're married, if you are married, who you're married to. Like, how do you manage such a personal life being, like, the astronomical superstar that you
are? I don't want people in my business like that. I'm just not.
How you stop them?
I don't give them shit to go. I don't give them fuel to add to the fire.
We seen her man a couple times here and there.
Yeah, you see, I'm just not like on Instagram. Hey, you know, I have my moments. We'll post each other here and there, but that's sacred. That's for us.
Right.
I don't want people in our business.
Now, I don't remember. You say we seen them.
Y'all grew up together. Everybody, we don't know you without her and vice versa. So,
y'all know her without me.
No.
You don't know me without her. Y'all know her without me, though.
How?
Because she had a whole album and all kinds of stuff going on back when I was a 14, 15-year-old kid. I was a teenager when she
came
out. I was in sixth grade.
I know, but
sixth grade.
As far back
and
I remember.
I told
but
my
y'all got together very early. You got to remember.
Early for me, not so early for her.
Oh, God.
But I told my partners when I was young, I said, man, I'm going to get that one.
And you got her.
You did.
That's why
he keeps telling this story. I don't know if I believe it.
You don't know if you believe it. Man, but I'll you tell know, you what. Let me ask Jason. That's Jason, not Jeter. Jason Mills from Macon.
I don't know Jason Mills.
From Macon, Georgia.
Okay, all right. Well,
I've just been looking at you. You ain't got nothing to do with nothing. But if they ever do a story on Mary J. Blige, you have to play her.
Me?
Yes.
Yeah, why not?
What? You would kill it.
Yeah. You got
Mary's
that Mary J. Blige energy.
She wants to play. She got things she can play herself.
You got that Mary J. Blige energy.
Well,
but nah, I mean,
that's my boo. You know that's my boo.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Well, she, you know, she just got, if she wanted an actor to play it,
yeah,
use the girl. But I know she's acting herself.
She is, and I don't think it's time to tell her story. She got a lot of more life to live.
That's what I see it, man. Yeah. But I found a way to do it. I found a way to do it now. And I'll talk to you about, you know what I'm saying, some projects that I got going on. Mm-hmm. And we see that we want to merge our efforts together for the purpose of progression. We can do
absolutely
that as well. Now.
And you know I'm a directing now.
I can't wait to see what you got going on.
I'm an incredible director.
I can't wait to see what you got
going on. I can get an incredible performance out of you, T.I.
Come on with it. Come on. What you gonna do? What you gonna make me? Huh? What I'm gonna be?
Let me direct.
What you gonna be? What kind of story you got?
You said you have some projects.
I definitely got some projects. Okay, so you want me to let you see some of my scripts, some of my stuff? Okay, bet. All right, say less. Now, we were talking a little bit about, you know, you wanted to keep your personal life, you know, private and personal and so on and so forth. You're not really, like, sharing with the world who you're involved with. But when you look for a mate.
Mm-hmm. I already have a mate. We're about to be married.
No. Wait.
Okay.
Just wait.
I'm not single no more. You can't be asking no single questions.
Just
get me in trouble now.
Let
go home
me
on Friday.
Let me finish. I'm in support of you and whatever union you have, even though it's anonymous. But
it's not. You messed up. I'm gonna punch you.
I'm speaking for the people.
Okay.
When you look for a mate, is it Jody and Baby Boy?
No.
Lucius from Empire.
No, it's nobody I ever worked with. It's
DJ
no
from Hustle.
No.
We're talking about the characters, not the actors.
I know.
About the characters.
Those are all dysfunctional relationships.
DJ from Hustle. Okay. Wait.
Dysfunction. Everything you
those
said
seem kind of like the same people, though. Those kind of seem like they
DJ
are
and Lucius
bit.
Are.
DJ Lucius with it. See, you're still going with the actor and not the actual character.
I'm saying that Lucius and DJ are the same, you know. The
so
same
what's the guy. Difference in Lucius and DJ and
Lucius got money.
And Jody? What about Jody? I think Jody was the best man you had in the movie.
Because
he actually loved you.
He loved you,
and he showed his loyalty.
He was young, and they were beginning their lives.
He showed his loyalty.
Yeah, he did.
He walked out of that, and me and her, we have a conversation about when he walked out on his that girl who worked with you.
Pandora.
Yeah. So we have our conversation about, you know, whether or not he did the right thing or... Like, it wasn't right enough. Like, she said it wasn't right enough because he ain't had no business over there in the first place.
His conscience was dealing with him.
But at the same time, making the right decision in a bad situation is valuable and should be taken into consideration.
Absolutely. You know why? Because he has love in his heart for that girl.
Mm-hmm.
He felt... If I do this now, right. I will hurt her, right. By therefore hurting myself.
Right.
That's when you know you truly love someone.
But you know what, though? I'm going to tell you something. Even more so than that. Seeing that the ulterior motive and the driving force behind this person pursuing me
the
is
girl.
To hurt my,
yes.
my significant
yes.
other.
And he said
you know
that.
What I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I know you just doing it, man. You trying to get at her. This ain't even got nothing to do with
yep.
me. You
yep.
dig what I'm saying?
And that's why I
recognizing
wish...
recognizing that
but that's where
important.
We as couples or in relationship, we have to be really smart
mm-hmm.
about that. And we have to protect our union because everybody is not happy.
That's right.
Everybody's not happy because you're happily in a relationship. They're miserable because they're not, and misery loves company.
That's real.
That's why I don't talk to people, everybody, about my relationship.
That's real.
Because they projecting their fears onto me.
And their failures on me.
What?
Absolutely. And we also, when we watch that movie, we have a conversation about the decision that your character made to allow Snoop Dogg's character to come and stay in her house.
Mm.
And so we talk about that as well.
Well,
so, you know.
She kind of didn't have a choice. He just pushed past the door and came in, and he was a killer, and she was a sketch.
He got a probation officer. Now, I'm going to tell you something. When you're just getting out of jail, first, the last thing you want to do is go back. You see what I'm saying? So all she had to say is, I'm going to call your
probation
officer.
Excuse me. He came out with the fuckery. He did.
You think
he
so?
Was not afraid to go back to jail.
You don't think he had?
He was fucking with Jody. Come
so you
on.
Don't think, so
he wasn't coming out on the straight and narrow. Did he go look for a job and find his own place? No. Like, stop, man.
So you don't think she was somewhat complicit
no.
to the fact that...
He's a killer. She was afraid.
Okay. I will accept that. I will accept that. Now, Empire has become one of the most critically acclaimed, successful shows for... our culture, our heritage, mm-hmm. in history.
Since, what was the first, Bill Cosby, the Huxtables.
What about it?
That was the first one.
Well, I mean, you know, I feel like
I
was, this is,
I guess
I put
what
this
I'm
in the line with
international.
Like, I put this in the line with like some shit like Fame.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And some shit that's not necessarily, because Bill Cosby was like a sitcom. That shit was laughs and jokes and shit.
But, what it did for the black culture and the right. black family and the black, what a black family looks like. It
for the diaspora.
International.
Right.
Like, it didn't just stay domestic.
Right.
And for, and a black family, a black show with a black family to do that, it hadn't been done since the Cosby Show.
Right. And I mean, I just want to know, because all of the talented actors, actresses, performers, storytellers that you have on the cast, like, what have been the funniest behind the scene moments that you can share?
We used to have a lot of funny behind the scene moments when Jesse was on set, because he was the jokester. I mean, I just remember this one time Terrence was asleep. Mm. And I think I posted it.
Okay.
And I had like this tie around my neck and I was dangling it over his face. Right. And he woke up and was like, you motherfuckers! And threw his hat. He didn't even know he was on Instagram. It was funny.
Man.
I mean, we've done us. I mean, I just wish that they would compile a bloopers reel, because
oh,
our bloopers are funny as fuck.
You could probably get a whole season out
what?
Of that.
What? I'm like, are y'all in the business of making money? Because you got a whole nother box set of just bloopers.
Man, I think y'all actually look like you have a lot of fun.
We do.
It's undeniable.
We do.
And I think that energy comes across on screen, and that contributes to the success of the show. Okay, now we're going to take a pause in the discussion, man, to address something very important, and that's making yourself better for the new year. And between hitting the gym, eating better, and learning a new skill or a new language or whatever it is you want to do, there's a lot of ways we could better ourselves in the new year. However, I can't quite think of one that's more important than starting the year off tackling high-interest credit card debt. My friends at Upstart.com are here to help. Upstart is a revolutionary lending platform that offers smarter rates to help you pay off high-interest credit card debt, all right? Upstart goes beyond the traditional credit score when assessing your credit worthiness. They actually reward you based on your education and job history in the form of a smarter rate. Upstart believes that you are more than just your credit score. Dig that. They believe in you. Now, ain't that something? I know. Breath of fresh air. Now, they make it fast, simple, and easy to check your rate. Since it's a soft pull, it won't affect your credit score. Now, the hard pull happens if you accept your rate. And now the best part is, once the loan is approved and accepted, most people get their funds the very next business day. Yeah, like in 24 hours, the next day. That's ASAP. Over 400,000 people have used Upstart to pay off credit cards or meet their financial goals. Free yourself from the burden of high-interest credit card debt by consolidating everything into one monthly payment with Upstart. See why Upstart is ranked number one in their category with over 300 businesses on Trustpilot. And hurry to Upstart.com/TIP to find out how low your Upstart rate is. Checking your rate only takes a few minutes. That's Upstart.com/TIP. I have a good buddy. I'm sure he's a good buddy of yours, too. And he has kind of been the natural volunteered antithesis of Empire.
Oh, God.
His name is 50 Cent. Mm. And I don't know how this whole thing started, but
him.
It's a power versus empire.
And that's the part. I don't know where that came from. I didn't like it. It was very uncomfortable. I'm going to tell you why. Because we're in an industry where we are not seen often. Our show had nothing to do with his show. We're talking two different subject matters.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that was, I thought that did more damage than help than good.
For I mean, in what way?
Because why are we pitting shows against each other? Why are we pitting two black shows against each other when it's hard enough to get a black show on the air? And see, that's when I get pissed off, because that's the crabs in the barrel fucking mentality.
I think it's more of a competitive spirit.
I mean, this is not the place for it, because the people on the outside,
I get what you're saying.
You make them choose sides.
Hey, listen, man, don't say that in front of these white folk. I mean, I get that. I can get that.
But it makes people choose sides, and it's petty, but, and it's stupid. Competitive? Why are we competing?
I mean,
you are on Stars. We are on Fox.
You can't be a winner if you don't compete. Because you can't be a winner if you don't compete.
But we're not. There's no competition.
I understand what y'all are saying. I get it. I'm speaking from 50's perspective, because
we both winning.
But why not compete with another show? Why are you gonna compete with the black show?
I think
there are a million other shows you could compete with.
I get that too. I get that.
Okay, so why?
Why'd you pick the black show to compete with? I get that.
And to do that publicly, it's embarrassing. And it's silly, it's petty, and it's young.
I don't think 50 meant no harm in it. And I ain't trying to really, like, jump in and defend 50, but I know how it feels to say something and take a position that you really didn't feel harmful, and have it be used against you. I already know how that feels. So I'm just trying to speak on his behalf.
What did he say? I mean,
however,
he said
I do,
so much.
Now listen, however, I do understand where you're coming from. From your perspective.
Here's the deal. What did I do to you?
That's exactly what I was going to say.
You see what I'm saying? Like,
from your perspective,
you
I ain't did none of the deserve this. You just came.
I'm working my ass off. Do you know? And then again, 50, do you know what the fuck I had to do to get here? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, why tear down another black person?
I get that.
For competition?
I get that.
I was never competing with that show. I know Lala on that show, Naturi.
Right.
I know those actors. I want them to win.
That's right.
I was proud of 50.
Okay.
I was proud of 50. I told him, I'm so proud of it. Look at what you're doing. You took, and this is what you
You told him that?
So I'm like, you know, I'm not getting into it. I have no ill will. That fiasco,
man, we come from, hey, listen,
it didn't hurt me in any way. It didn't hurt the show in any way, but it was sad. It was sad that this was going on in the public, because it makes us look trite. What other shows, they ain't got to be white, what other shows are doing that?
That's difficult. That's a difficult one.
Have you ever seen that? Ever. That convert, that, because we never, I never responded back. I responded back in a positive way. I wanted Naturi and the women on that show to know that this was no dig. This, I don't even know how it got there.
I mean, you're right. I mean, you got,
but
you
I
got
just
valid
didn't
points.
Understand.
50, I need you to answer to this shit. You need to come on expeditiously and answer to this shit right
you.
Now, man.
He don't owe me nothing.
Nah, man, stop that, because at the end of the day, you still his sister, he's still your brother, and you know what I'm saying? I'm still.
I get it. People like the jokes, but know when to joke and know what is a classic
that's what
joke.
Shit, I still ain't figured that. I do not know when to joke and when not to joke. I do not know. I have no fucking idea, bro. I just say this shit.
Because what that does is sends a message that we're in competition with each other.
Honey, I'm just telling you, this young lady, her strength precedes her.
I know it.
You know what I'm saying?
But I'm no strong black woman, honey. I am vulnerable. I get tired. I have rage. I have anger.
She's a Virgo, so.
Yeah.
I don't know what the hell that means.
I know a little
like,
bit
what
about
the hell
Virgos.
Is that supposed to mean?
They
do
have
you
a
not
nice
know?
A sensitive side.
We, and we're loyal. We are loyal.
Really,
you ain't got no
really.
Virgo friends.
I don't know.
He know a lot of Virgos. I know about friends.
I got my,
but you got
my
a lot
son,
of Virgo
right?
Family.
My son,
your
right?
Your son is a Virgo. My mother's a Virgo.
Yeah.
My whole family Virgo.
Dina, single Dina's raising her hand. Single Dina's a Virgo.
And that's why she in your circle.
You dig what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. The one out of 75 people is a Virgo. So
that's not true.
I'm just joking. I'm joking. Man. I'm joking. Nah, real talk. Like, we support you.
Thank you.
We want you to
and
know.
And I support y'all, Lord.
Man,
have
thank
mercy.
You. And I feel
you.
It. I feel
you,
it.
You make me, when I watch y'all's show, I get teary eyed because you parent your children the way my dad did me, and I lost him in 06. So I watch your show to feel a closeness to my dad, because you really raised
as
him
a
like
daughter,
school.
as a daughter growing up with a father, this, mm-hmm. as you said, was like me. Mm-hmm. What is the most like challenging part?
Challenging part? What do you
yeah,
mean?
What is the most challenging part?
As like a daughter.
As a daughter, the thing that you like, man, damn, man, my dad like this and I can't deal with it. What the hell?
Well, my dad was a little different because he had some other challenging issues, but...
Well, let's talk about it just a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he had some job. I don't want to get all the way into it, but okay. But it was a little different, but at the same time, like, as I got old, a lot of the things that you do, she's not going to understand right now, but she will when she gets older.
Okay.
That's how parents...
So don't look for understanding right now.
Not right now.
Okay, gotcha.
She wants a yes man, and you ain't going to be
that. No, I can't. I can't do that.
Who likes the no man?
I got
right?
That. Yeah, I can't
she
do
will
that.
Get it when she gets older and she flourishes and she blossoms.
So you have
because
to truly
of
let go.
The because of what you set up.
Right.
Because of the standards that you set up.
Yeah.
She's going to look back and she's going to be like, "Oh my God.
I feel like there's nothing I can do short of putting her in a headlock and making her like sit around me all the time, mm-hmm. all day."
I hung out with my dad. I went with my dad to work.
But she has so many different like Well, I should say they all.
It's a different day.
Boys included.
It's
boys
a
included.
Day and time.
Like, I be trying
it's
to
so
get
much
them.
More for these kids to do now.
I be just wanting them to just, man, come sit around me, man. Y'all just
so
need to come sit around me.
They have so much
no,
more. So
they
many
don't.
Distractions.
Not worth doing.
Yeah, the
but
younger
they,
ones,
but they
wanna,
have them.
You know, they just want to do what they doing.
It ain't
right
about
now.
What they want. They don't know what they need. They don't know what to want yet.
But they feel, you know, when they're around you.
Fuck what they
control
feel.
Control every, you know, and then when they don't have
man,
that,
listen,
they're
man.
A little more free. Their day goes
man,
a little better.
But
you know?
No, man, listen.
Stay
man.
On them, no, T.I.
This
stay
shit
on
here,
them.
I can't, man. My wife won't let me listen.
I ain't got this nothing is, to do with me.
But no, this is what I'm trying to tell you. This is about preparing them for, think about what they will need 5 or 10 years ahead of time. And this is about making sure they have those things, not making sure that their today is comfortable for them. I don't care if it's comfortable. If you got to get up early, get up early.
Right.
If you got to stay up late, stay up late. If you don't get to do, you don't get to go play on video games, so don't play on video games. But you will get this work.
The earlier you start with that, though, the better you have with getting them to want to do that. You
but
know
I
what
try, but you got to give children. What I try to do is give children that nurturing phase. Usually after 10 years old is when I really start. You know what I'm saying?
You have to put the hammer down because
you have to do it earlier.
I mean, but the nurturing phase. I try to give them they unadulterated, like they uninterrupted time with their mama.
No,
you know what I mean?
They want time with daddy too at a young age, especially girls, because the girls love daddies. You see what I'm saying?
They do.
So if you start early, you don't have to worry when you get a little older. They still want to do that. They still like.
Wait, I mean, you know what I found? I had my phases. I felt like when I was younger, I was more mama. And then when I got a teenager, my daddy understood a little more.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He made it seem like he was more lenient, but he wasn't. You know what I mean?
Well, for girls, you know, it seems like when they get older, they mother and them always bump heads. You know what I'm saying? Teenage years.
I sent my daughter a meme, and it kind of listed the different phases of life and how they responded to their mother.
Yeah.
And it goes all the way from birth to death.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's like ages this from this. This is how you felt. This from this. This is how you felt. And I sent it to my daughter when her and her mom was having that phase that you were talking about. Mm-hmm. And she kind of was like, "Yo, I didn't think about it like that."
Mm-hmm.
And now, you know, her and her mom are closer than she and I are. So.
Yeah, but you go through those phases.
So congratulations, Tip. You did a great thing. But I mean, yes, you go through phases, and I think that all of those phases are enjoyable, and they're all prevalent, like to life lessons and growing and evolving. And nobody thinks about the caterpillar when they look at the butterfly.
Nobody does it. No,
you know what I'm saying? Nobody does. Now,
you just see the butterfly.
That's it, and you admire its astonishing beauty, but
not
you don't think
where
about
it came from.
All the shit that you go through to reach it to that point.
Mm-hmm.
But on a lighter note, tell everybody what's next for Taraji.
What's next? So Empire's about to come to an end.
What?
After six seasons.
Forever?
Forever, ever? Yeah. And
I had a hell of a run.
We did. And I think this is what you do. You go out while you're on top.
You dig what I'm saying?
You know, and, you know, what I was able to accomplish with Cookie, she's iconic. That's a role.
Cookie a bad motherfucker because she walked in the door. Listen, I done did time for you motherfuckers.
Right.
So, listen, ain't no goddamn taking my motherfucking shine away from me. You will acknowledge. So all of the I didn't rat, I didn't snitch, I didn't tell on nobody. I did what I had to do, and now when I'm coming home, you motherfuckers better deal with me accordingly.
Yeah,
right.
And but she's iconic. You know, I made her iconic. There's nothing really more I can do with her.
You did.
She will be talked about long after I'm gone. So now I'm looking for what else I can make iconic.
now Cookie put you in a light. Not even just Cookie. I think all of or most of your characters put you in a light that says you look like you'll let a nigga have it. So I have to ask, did you grow up getting into a lot of fights?
Not at all. I was the friend. I was everybody's friend. I was the most friendly kid on the playground. I was everybody's friend. I made everybody feel inclusive. I was a little squirt, so I didn't go around looking for fights.
Right.
But I could protect myself.
I was a little squirt, and I did go around looking for fights.
Well, I didn't. I was looking for friends, but...
I was terrible.
You could not bully me. I ain't no punk now.
I was terrible.
I know, terrible. Baby.
It was predator or prey where I stayed. I know, you know what I'm saying? I was where I was,
but I was the neutralizer.
I mean, you know what I'm saying? I think that there's a psyche with that. Because when you expect to be taken advantage of, then you become defensive. And when you become defensive, then you begin to become a predator.
I never expected anybody to take advantage of me. But, you know, when you come from the hood, you know people going to try you.
Yeah.
I just wasn't to be tried.
That's how I was.
I didn't have to fight a lot because a lot of people liked me. They just liked me.
That's real.
You know, and plus I was different.
We used to only have to fight like one, two people a year.
It was like, yeah, that's Taraji. She's just a little different. But she's, you know, that's our girl. You know. Yeah. So I was the little different one in the hood, you know. But still hood. Don't get it smooth.
I mean, I don't think anybody can ever take that away from you. I'm talking about from now till eternity. I think Taraji would go down as the hood. You know what I'm saying?
And I'm not ashamed of where I come from.
And you shouldn't be.
I am, you know?
You shouldn't be. Now, what do you feel that you haven't done yet that still is left to
be just done? I just directed an episode of Empire.
Excellent.
I've fallen in love with directing. I love casting. I love giving young thespians a shot. Right. Somebody gave me a shot to sit in the casting room, and these kids come in and they're like nervous. I remember those days.
Right.
It's been a long time since I had to audition, but to know that
I directed a video too.
You did?
Yeah, just
but
not
just
too
the,
long ago.
Just to know that someone is going to run home tonight and call their mother and be like, oh my God, I'm going to be on Empire. I remember those days. And to be the catalyst to that, that makes me feel good.
That's dope.
That warms my heart.
That's dope.
So I'm moving in that direction.
I think as a storyteller, the natural progression, like kind of like the most elder statesman of a creative that you can be is a director.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? Like, okay, I've been an actor, I've been a writer, I've been a producer, and it all contributes to the growth and the evolution where you finally make it to the final stage, and that's a director.
Directing is so fulfilling. I mean, really like the bug bit me. I'm a director.
You know what?
I'm going to pay my dues. I'm ready.
You know what? No. The only thing I don't like about directing, they the first ones on set and the last one to leave.
No. Oh, because when crew call is at 7,
right?
And if I'm the actress in the scene, I got to go to hair and makeup first. So
I don't do hair and makeup.
Right.
Like
so if
you
crew
guys
call
do.
Is at 7, I show up at 7 for crew call.
Right.
The director.
Gotcha.
And if I'm an actor, I
got
to show up an hour early.
That's
to
dope.
Do hair and makeup.
And you've done so many movies that were so good and came out, and you worked with so many phenomenal directors that I can't wait to see firsthand what you
What's
picked
next?
Up.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Me either.
So, If your life had a title now, other than your last book, Around the Way Girl, if you had to do a, like a part two to Around the Way Girl, what would that title be?
I have so much life to live before I write another
do.
One.
So you definitely do.
Maybe it'll be called Expeditiously.
Now, I appreciate that. Thank you for that shameless plug. And we will be using that on commercial. I'm just bullshit. Listen, in honor of you, Taraji.
Me?
Yes, in honor of you. We have a, we have a tradition here at Expeditiously, and the tradition is to enlighten people and offer new extensive words for their vocabulary.
Uh-oh, what I got today.
And we call it the word of the week. Now, the word of the week is usually about the person or about the discussion of the day. So, the word of the week is fortitude. Fortitude. The definition, courage in the midst of pain or adversity. When someone has fortitude, it means that they have emotional power or reserves and the ability to withstand adversity. Hmm. Now, I'm going to use it in a sentence just so you can go to work tomorrow and then sit and stand around at the water cooler at lunchtime and pretend like you had learned this word and knew it all your life. Now, through prayer and meditation, Taraji had the fortitude to carry on fighting.
And that's a fact.
You dig what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Thank you so much
for
joining us. You're a friend and an ally and a hero. And we appreciate you and we value you and we lift you up.
Thank you.
And anytime you need us for whatever you need us for, please call us.
Yes, Taraji. Thank you. Are y'all out here now?
We live out here.
We have a house here.
We have a house here in Atlanta.
Been Expeditiously. Thanks for listening to Expeditiously with me, T.I.P. Don't forget to subscribe at Apple Podcasts and Podcast One and rate and review, please.
Expeditiously is produced, engineered, and edited by KC Morris.